It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Here we go, off and running with a new broadcast week at the Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. It is the 10th day of May, 2021. This is the Horn. HeadOn.live is where we live on the interweb tubes. And in fact, if you pop by there right now when the program is live Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific, and click on chat room, well, you'll be immediately greeted by early arrivers Anatole and Roger in Oregon, and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, although he is a third stage guild navigator, still continues to not fold space to become man cave because, well, doggone it, I don't know what it's like there. It's probably infernally hot, whereas what it is here is, it's 64 degrees in the fabulous Horn Studios, and that means it's probably about 55 outside. I don't know what they did with spring, but I wish somebody would bring it back. No questions will be asked. And we're still not going to... we're not going to see 70 degrees around here. Oh, my God. Until a week from today. Oh, it's frustrating. Low-hanging clouds and just... I'm affected
by the weather. A little sunny weather just perks me up and makes me feel better. And then this.
You should have seen me out there making Mother's Day dinner on the Blackstone griddle yesterday. 50 mile an hour gale force winds. And I'm like, you know, if the damn steaks blow off the griddle, I'm going to be really upset. But I managed to get it all done, and it was nice. Steak and a cauliflower broccoli medley with melted blue cheese and split grilled Brussels sprouts with Parmesan, lemon, dill, and salt. And it was very well received. It was fun. It was weird cooking in gale force winds, but, you know, hey. It's my life. That's how things go. Hi, I'm Robin. And like I said, we've got a brand new broadcast week going for us, the second full week of May. And every program here at the Horn begins. We did. Trey in Kentucky stands. So you had some wind stakes? Yeah, you could say that. Every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. And so for this 10th day of May 2021, we send out thanks to our subscribers over the course of the weekend. Thank you very kindly to Paul from Parts Unknown. Thank you to Judith. Thank you, Daniel. Thank you most kindly to James. Thank you, Ralps. Thank you, Libby. Thank you, Khalil. Thank you, Mary Bell. Thank you to Susan. Thank you, Brendan. Thank you, Marcia. Thank you, Dwayne. Thank you, Nancy. Thank you all so very kindly for being part of the group of sponsors of this program whose kind gifts
keep independent, liberal, progressive broadcasting alive and kicking. Okay? Thank you so very much. So what does that mean for us now? A, it means the fundraising goal is at $970. That means we've got $70 from last Wednesday, all of Thursday, all of Friday, and then today to be fully funded for the month of May. Thank you very kindly to our dear friend Charlene in Rogues Island. $75 challenge, and if met this evening, I'll add 50. Best to you, girl from Rogues Island. Thank you, Charlene. Thank you. And that's a tremendous help. There's a $75 challenge courtesy of Charlene in Rogues Island. If we meet that, that'll get us. That'll take care of the Wednesday and start some on Thursday. And it would be tremendously helpful if met. We'll have a total of $200 knocked off of that $970. It'll be down to $770. And most helpful. Thank you, Charlene. Thank you so very much. And hopefully that will be met sooner rather than later. And maybe even wipe out last Thursday. Operating at a deficit is kind of tough. To get us started, a note from Ron in Raleigh. May I digress? Oh, do. Please, do. Since listening to Senator Tim Scott's rebuttal from a week or so back, and we're already buffering, by the way. That ain't steak, Kincaid, says Brother Deacon Asa. Brother Deacon Asa is bigoted against filet. And I don't know why. I think it's rich and wonderful and flavorful, that's just cruel. Thank God you had some bacon wrapped around it so it'd have some flavor. Yeah, that's what I got earlier this weekend. Thank you, Jeremy, for getting us started. And so that means there's $55 to go on Charlene's challenge. Thank you, Jeremy. And back to Ron and Raleigh. Ron and Raleigh says, since listening to Tim Scott's reply, rebuttal, or whatever that thing was supposed to be, and listening to him on the Gab Fests, there are questions I wish someone had asked him. My question is, if I stipulate that the U.S. is not now a racist country, was it ever a racist country? If it has never been a racist country, what was that dust-up between 1861 and 1865 about? I'd also ask, when exactly did all the racism get excised from the country? I'm asking for all the dead black men with holes in their backs. And it's a question I'm sure that they would love to have answered. I'd like to have an answer. And the whole, as we've discussed, the whole 1619 Project, the critical race theory, these are all things that have been ginned up and started primarily with Nitwit Nero. The fact that this is an issue now, and I'm sure it makes him feel, well, as close to good as he can feel, but he's glad to know that he can still drive the discussion. I would just like to see American history taught earnestly and honestly. You know, the way Dr. Bill wanted people to teach it from primary sources, because if you consult the primary sources, you kind of got to come away from this going, yup, racist country. I mean, it's kind of like if you're the British Empire, and this might be a good good comparison. You can't talk about the British Empire without talking about the inherent racism of the British Empire. You can't talk about the British Empire without talking about what they did, fomenting the Opium Wars in China, what they did in India. It would be like trying to talk about, was Belgium a racist nation when Duke Leopold was genociding the Congo? You tell me, because I think I know the answer. and it's pretty obvious. I mean, when you and you know, back here, when you found a nation, and it's founded on the principle that only white property-owning men have a say in government, yeah, you know, that's pretty racist. I guess the only question left to answer is, when it was the dominant political thought all over the world, does that mean... And that's too much. Just because everybody gets something wrong doesn't mean that it stops being wrong. And I too, along with Ron and Raleigh, would like to see Tim Scott answer that question. If we're not a racist nation, when did we stop being a racist nation? Was it when the Voting Rights Act was signed into law? Because, well, a few years back, the Supreme Court declared there was no more racism in America and gutted the Voting Rights Act, and, well, look who's not voting. Or maybe it was when, maybe it was on January the 20th, 2009. You know, when Barack Hussein Obama, the Kenyan Muslim usurper, put his hand up and with his other hand on the secret Koran, the secret Rosicrucian Bilderberger Illuminati Koran, and took the oath of office, and all the racism just disappeared. But again, the fundamental problem that afflicts, one of the fundamental problems that afflicts this nation, is that nobody will ever ask Tim Scott that question. Because, you know, that isn't done. Oh, that wouldn't be cricket. It's not according to the Marcus of Queensbury rules. It's a low blow, asking him to actually defend his position. Goodness sakes. Yeah. Oh, I know. The dust up in 1865, Stephen, New York, reminds us. That was about states' rights. You know, states' rights to own slaves. Never mind. There I go, ruining it again. Thank you so much to Lamar the Magnificent. Lamar the Magnificent has finished off the challenge and taken us, let's see, the way that works out. Lamar the Magnificent has gotten us well into finished off Thursday. So that means that we are about $600 from even now. And that's fantastic. Thank you, Lamar the Magnificent. The R is still silent, but he's Lamar the Magnificent. By the way, a little late into the inbox, but subject line infrastructure. Robin! Jeffrey starts us out this Moran Monday. I, for one, am thrilled to hear the fall of the Chinese. Now, only we can get back to some of the components that help us build our military equipment. Yes, the rocket crashed, and one of the top Chinese officials will be voted out of leadership this week.
Jeffrey, actually, the Chinese rocket was meant to crash into one of the oceans. The only failure the rocket had was that it didn't crash into Mar-a-Lago. And as far as the fall of the Chinese and one of their high officials being pulled from leadership, I think you're referring to the fall of one of the Chinese, not Chinese, Chinese from leadership. You know what? That is probably Jeffrey's biggest cowbell ever. Not the fall of a Chinese leader, the fall of the Chinese leader. And because the Republicans want to replace Liz Cheney with a total moron who went to Harvard, an elitist Stefanik. This Harvard grad, and I'm not going to use the gendering slur there, or the gender-based slur. This Harvard grad has gone back to her New York district bragging to her constituents about how her Harvard work, see what, helped pass the Biden stimulus package, which is doing wonders for her district, even though she and every other Republican voted against the bill. I guess you don't have to have any integrity to graduate from Harvard, just a load of bullshit for that BS. Then there are the morons, Matt Gaetz and Marjorie Taylor Trader Green Cue Ball down in the villages amongst a bunch of maskless people promoting their hate and hysteria.
Jeffrey's got it. Does anybody remember Spuds McKenzie? Well, if you don't remember that dog, just take a look at Marjorie Taylor Greene. You'll basically have the same thing.
Yeah, good point, Jeffrey, but I think the dog could actually make some sense when he spoke.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a merry chase. Maybe we'll get to it. I don't know. I don't know if I've got the stomach for it. On this day in 1869, the final stake was driven into the ground as two railways met and came together in Promontory, Utah, officially allowing the United States to have a transcontinental railroad. That's called infrastructure, and I think after this weekend's cyber attack on an oil pipeline, this country just may need some serious infrastructure. Last year, Mother's Day fell on my mother's birthday, but we were unable to celebrate because an idiot promoted the pandemic as a hoax. It was so nice to be back together yesterday for Mother's Day, and I would like to wish my mother a happy birthday today. Love you, Mom, and I'm so grateful to have you. Someone who didn't have a chance to celebrate Mother's Day yesterday was Tawny Kitaen, as she passed just short of this Mother's Day last Friday. May she rest in peace as her life was shattered to pieces by addiction issues. She's a California native whose story hits close to home. I'll save that and one other Mother's Day baseball story for tomorrow in a Mother's Day Part 2. This has been Joey's Journal for Monday, May the 10th, with Giraffrey trying to carry the mother load and keep democracy intact. Thank you, Joey. Thank you, Giraffrey. Cheney's leadership. God, that was just good. $10 Spuds McKenzie challenge on the table. If we wipe that out, we will be started on Friday's funding. Thank you, Joey. Thank you, Giraffe, so very much. And happy birthday to Mama. And happy Mother's Day, too. So, God, there's even just dealing with the content of Joey and Giraffe's journal gives us opportunities for any number of places to take off. But I got the sense that it really was a special Mother's Day, as people were able to get out and go see Mama and them. And I thought it was just lovely. There seemed to be a warmer vibe about it, and it was sweet and it was good. Of course, in our family here, we have Agnes and our three daughters, all of who are moms. Our eldest is a mom to three. Our youngest is a mom to a baby I've never even seen. And in the middle, Margie's mom to a rambunctious golden retriever. And you know what? There's parenting skills involved in our four-legged fur babies, too. So we don't leave them out. But even though there were 50-mile-an-hour gale-force winds, it was a sweet day. And as the day came to its close, I thought of my mom. And counted up the years, and it's been 24 years since the doctors killed her. And it still hurts a lot. But it's a time for celebrating and looking forward. And so to all the moms out there, and all the people who have done magnificent work, doing mom work, I hope you had a simply fabulous day. Okay? Okay. Sorry about that. Now, it's the day after Mother's Day, and, you know, there's some warm and fuzzy that goes with that. But, oh, my God, it's also Moran Monday. And, of course, being Moran Monday, you can never go wrong going to Texas to get things going. Yeah, no. A neighborhood in Houston, Texas. I first saw this when Flavio pointed it out to me. And then I found some follow-up. In a peaceful, I mean, it's Texas. In a peaceful neighborhood in Houston, a tiger took to, well, a tiger went walkabout. And for a minute there, I thought it was some sort of William Blake performance piece. And you know what I'm talking about, right? Tiger, tiger, burning bright in the forests of the night, what immortal hand or eye could frame thy fearful symmetry? In what distant deeps or skies burnt the fire of thine eyes? On what wings dare he aspire? What the hand dare seize the fire? Yada, yada, yada. In order for that first verse to work, you either have to pronounce I as E or symmetry as symmetry. I always found that troubling. But you know what's more troubling? Actually having a tiger wandering through your neighborhood. And I was glad when I saw this story that I do not live in Houston, because Agnes would have been out in the front yard and, here, kitty, 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 here, kitty, kitty, kitty. But people were kind of freaking out over the tiger wandering through the neighborhood in Houston. Need I point out that while the jaguar is indigenous to Meso and Central America, the tiger isn't. So I guess in deregulated Texas, it's completely legal to open carry your tiger. And some dude with a gun, because Texas, went out in the street for a showdown with the tiger. Wah, wah, wah. Yeah, no, really. Oh. Get back.
No, sir. No, sir.
Yelling no kitty to the tiger.
No.
Tiger's still walking up on dude. And... no, really. The good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, Christian Texan drew his freedom protector, and the tiger didn't seem to care.
Fuck you and your fucking tiger. Get the fuck back inside, man.
I'll get him.
Get the fuck back inside. I don't know who the fuck this is. Get the fuck back inside.
I'll get him.
I mean... This is only Texas.
Stand down right now.
And this is a nice neighborhood.
Just waiting.
It's not a neighborhood where you would ordinarily expect to find tigers.
Freaking Bengal tiger, Bengal tiger, boom, in this yard, and this dude needs to be careful. Holy cow! Holy cow! Oh my god! Oh my gosh! Oh my gosh! Oh my gosh. He's gonna shoot it. He's gonna shoot it. Oh. What the heck? Why is there a tiger?
It's a tiger. Jesus Christ. I know. Certainly this is not going to change anybody. Well, I might change the dude's life. The one with the gun. But how does the state, because remember, they got all kinds of freedom in Texas. And you got, you know what? When tigers are outlawed, only outlaws will have tigers. Yeah. Notice, Flavio's right. Notice the tiger got off easier than any black person walking around like that in a neighborhood like that. Am I wrong? No, you're not. And maybe it's maybe nobody in the neighborhood knew that it was something for some sort of bizarre reality series. I don't know. But I guess, I mean, I guess the bottom line is, you can own a tiger in Texas. Because feed them. I'll tell you the first thing that came to mind when Flavio brought this to my attention. I wanted to get, you know the really powerful spray that the insurrectionists used when they attacked the Capitol on January 6th and they had bear spray? I wanted a big old, I thought how nice it would be, because, you know, Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, and his spouse, Heidi, they live in a nice neighborhood in Houston, kind of like that. I mean, those are some million-dollar houses. And I got to thinking how much fun it would be, because I'm sort of, well, I'm inappropriately gendering the tiger, but I'm assuming it's male tiger. And I was kind of thinking how nice it would be just to have one of those the fire extinguisher-sized canisters of Tiger in Heat, and just turning Ted loose and spraying him down with it and just seeing what happened after that. I know. I'm a bad person. I should be ashamed. But somehow or another, I'm not. We'll be okay. But that just, for me, that was just emblematic of what kind of Moran Monday we were looking at. And Jesus, it only gets more bizarre. And a note coming in from Jeremy in Vermont. Subject line, childhood house. On Saturday, I drove my nieces and mother up to see my grandmother, who I've not seen from a distance since last summer. Thanks for that, Death Yam. But on the way back, I decided to show them where I spent my first 10 years of life. It's a small 18-acre farm about 15 minutes from the Canadian border, about 8 miles out on an old dirt road. As we drove by, we noticed many things had changed on the property over the 30 years we've driven by to see it. The newest change is a big old Trump 2020 flag on one side of the front of the house, flanked by a Stars and Bars on the other side, 8 miles from the Canadian border in Vermont. Mind you, it's about as far north as you can get in the first state to free slaves, and as a kicker, the house at the end of the dirt road is a certified underground railroad stop. Fuck these fucking maggots. Amen, hallelujah, and cowbell. The disease, it's spreading. Mm-hmm. We have a, for this Moran Monday, we have a Mr. Pillow sighting, who apparently is having some relapse problems. Certainly got lawsuit problems. Being sued by Dominion voting systems and all. Oh, wait a minute. Let me back up here. Flavio says, at least in Texas, you have to register your big cat and you have to pay insurance. Four states have no laws on keeping dangerous wild animals as pets: Alabama, Nevada, North Carolina, and Wisconsin. Six states do not ban or regulate keeping big cats as pets: Alabama, Nevada, North Carolina, Wisconsin, Delaware, and Oklahoma. Whew. At least West Virginia's not on that list. Getting some relief. Yep. you got to have insurance in Texas on your tiger. Freedom is falling. Mm-hmm. But anyway, Mike, Mr. Pillow, went on Steve Bannon's podcast. And, well, it led some people to wonder if, as we have wondered here, if he's, you know, okay.
By the way, Steve, I want to say this. I'll give Dominion a little scare this morning. Dominion, we have machines now. I do. I have machines. We have ESNS machines. We got them all. And we're going to be putting out so much information over the next couple weeks. And not this isn't from Arizona, Steve. These are machines we actually have. And we're doing all of our own.
You hear that? He's got machines, and he's got ESNS machines, and they're not made by Dominion.
Chess, we're going to have a lot of surprise, a lot of great news for the country. And their big cover-up is just starting to, like you say, it's coming apart at the seams. So if I was Dominion, if I worked for Dominion right now, I'd be turning myself in. I wouldn't even wait. I wouldn't even let it get too much longer. It's over for them.
No. It's really, really not. What he's trying to do is he's setting up I don't know how, but it's some sort of I'm too nuts to sue defense. Maybe he's a civil incompetent. Maybe he'll claim that he made all these statements when he had relapsed into the depths of a meth and ether and, I don't know, tiger tranquilizer binge. God. But apparently, I don't know. Is it good for pillow sales? I got nothing. Oh, yeah, of course. John in PA wants to know if I've been following the Medina Spirit drama, the Kentucky Derby winner. And there was a test for levels of anti-inflammatory drug. And, well, Medina Spirit didn't pass. And so, of course, Nitwit Nero had something to say.
And now we find out our great Kentucky Derby winner is a junkie. This country's falling apart.
No, really. He accused a horse, an absolute and most excellent horse, of being a junkie. And managed to misspell junkie into the bargain. You just can't make this. Oh, you can't make it up. And then, of course, Bob Baffert, the trainer of the Kentucky Derby horse, was invited on Fox News, and Bob Baffert went on Fox News. And so having failed a post-race drug test, well, what do you say if they invite a horse trainer, a world-renowned horse trainer, onto Fox News TV Radio Rwanda to talk about the drug test, the post-race drug test that your horse failed? What do you know what? Come on.
Controversy now surrounding the winner of this year's Kentucky Derby. That horse, Medina Spirit, failing a post-race drug test, putting the victory in serious question and leading Churchill Downs to take action against legendary trainer Bob Baffert. Quote, given the seriousness of the alleged offense, Churchill Downs will immediately suspend Bob Baffert, the trainer of Medina Spirit, from entering any horses at Churchill Downs racetrack.
Okay. Does that seem just madness to you? I mean, I horse doping. I don't understand the equine physiology benefit of too much anti-inflammatory drug, but you know, it could be something. Maybe it means that the fragile ankles of that thoroughbred were less likely to get sore, or some other portion of the horse gets sore anti-inflammatories, probably some sort of steroid. I think the drug was something that ended in S-O-N-E, which kind of reminds me of prednisone, cortisone, dexamethasone. Yeah. Roided up horse. That's not quite the same as a junkie, though.
That horse is a junkie. I never touch the stuff. I mean, I don't guess Adderall is like, you know, it's not like a steroid. I snort 30-foot rails of the shit, but and you know, it's great, but at least it's not, I'm not a junkie.
To be clear, if the findings are upheld, Medina Spirit's results in the Kentucky Derby will be invalidated, and Mandolin will be declared the winner. Bob Baffert joins us now. Welcome, sir.
Morning, Bob.
Good morning.
Yeah, you've been in the news all weekend. I've watched a lot of your interviews, read all the transcripts. Are you adamant that you had nothing to do with it? Are you adamant that...
Wow. No, not even any pretext. No pretense. Leading questions. Are you adamant? Oh, I'm adamant, Bill Hemmer. I'm adamant.
It did not happen.
Oh, this did not happen. That horse has never been treated with that. And it's a legal therapeutic medicine. And the amount that was in it wouldn't have any effect on the horse anyway. But
wait, it's illegal or illegal?
That horse was never treated with that. And so that's the disturbing part of it. But I cannot believe, I never thought I'd have to be fighting for my reputation and this poor horse's reputation because.
This poor horse. Because, you know, protesters are. Well, they're gathering outside his stall and hollering. Well, never mind.
Of the new regulations, the regulators have put, they're testing these horses at contaminated levels, and it's been a horrible experience.
So, Bob, just at the beginning of that answer, you were about to say it did not happen? Is that what you were about to say?
We missed it. We got to get our Fox News style manual talking point in here. How am I supposed to get there if you won't follow the fucking script, Bob?
It did not happen, and that's the really seriously troubling part of it. And I'm hiring investigators, but sometimes you never find out, and it's just a tragedy what's happening in this race.
Do you think that the result was maybe?
Wait, I know. Hunter Biden snuck in and dumped some what's a who's a zone in the horse's blood test sample and Ukraine.
Be a false positive?
Well, we're hoping we're going to do DNA testing. You know, sometimes they can be, they have the wrong testing or whatever. But, you know, Dana, what's happening is they're testing at these picogram levels. America doesn't know about picogram.
We do. And picomoles. Yeah. Some of us do, at least, because some of our blood work gets measured that way. Just saying.
It's like a salt grain in an Olympic-sized pool. And he had 21 picograms, which has no effect at all. Anyway, it's a legal drug. But the thing is, a few years ago, this would have never been called. In California, they would never call this a positive. They shouldn't have called it a positive. We live in a new world now. These horses don't live in a bubble.
No, they live in a stall. They live in a fucking barn, Bob. I mean, I think, you know, you're a world-renowned four times in a decade Kentucky Derby-winning trainer. You know they don't live in a bubble. How would you make a bubble for a horse? Oh, God.
Open farm, people are touching him. He went from the Derby. After the Derby, everybody's up there touching him. I mean, there's so many ways these horses could get contaminated.
Yeah, gave him a carrot and a sugar cube with some who's-a-what's-a-zone on it, and that's how it happened. And I mean, you know, it's just a little tiny. It's 21 picograms. You can put that on an apple, and it'll gobble it before you even know what happened.
And when they're testing at these really ridiculously low levels, and I've been saying it for over a year now, this is going to get innocent people in trouble, and this is what's happened now.
Bob, what?
Innocent people.
you know, what recourse do you have, or how do you go about to try to prove your innocence?
Nobody's charged him with a crime, just saying. What's at stake here is the money. Betamethasone. Thank you, Darlene in Connecticut. Betamethasone. Baffert has had a ton of violations levied at him. He's dodgy at best, and I thought it was spelled junkie, not J-U-N-K-I-E, not J-U-N-K-Y, dumbass orange menace. Irrespective of all this, I can't stand how they abuse these horses, as dumb as horses can be. Well, yeah. I get the point. I mean, but they are vehicles of capitalism. They're not so much horses as vehicles of capitalism. We talked about the fact that on May 1st at the Kentucky Derby that some sickening Saudi princeling who is trying to kidnap his wife and daughters had a horse in the Derby, and Churchill Downs couldn't even be bothered to tell him, nah, we don't need assholes, because, you know, maybe all the horse owners are assholes. What makes me think that maybe if you're rich enough to own a Kentucky Derby horse, maybe you're an asshole. And then you hire an asshole.
Well, we're going to just fight this. It's happened before. It happened with Justify, the Triple Crown winner. Same thing. He ingested a Jimson weed, and we had to go through there's a process. We went through it. And we,
you realize how ripped you get on Jimson weed? Never mind.
We finally resolved that.
Dude, he was on Morning Glory seeds. That's why he ran so good.
We resolved some in Arkansas. It's been happening a lot. It happens, but you don't hear about it because it happened to Bob Baffert. You hear about it, but this is a problem that's been ongoing. And they have this new horse racing integrity law that just got passed. And hopefully, and I was one of the first, you know, I got behind it. And, you know, if somebody like that, when they look at it, they can.
You're going to love it when we get to the hockey puck part of this.
See, hey, wait a minute. There's something not right here. And something in racing, you know, racing has a problem, but Bob Baffert is not the problem.
You know, Bob, this is.
Yeah, George Costanza is not the problem.
This isn't something you bury in the diet of the horse. This has to be injected into the joints. It's a steroid, an anti-inflammatory. It would mask, essentially, the amount of physical exertion the horse is exhibiting on the track and help the horse, him or her, to run faster. But you've had five horses from the Baffert barn in the last year to fail a drug test. Now, what would explain that?
But they were all resolved. They were all
junkies. Just ask Donald Trump.
They were contamination, and we have to fight this. And for some reason, that is the problem right there. And people in the public don't understand. People in my world, they understand this is all BS. And unfortunately, it happened to Bob Baffert's not stupid. That's not a drug that.
I just can't get over the third person references. What happened to I?
I would use on a horse. We don't use that horse. We don't use that drug.
We don't use that horse. We don't use horse. I definitely don't use horse. You know, that's an old word for smack, which is an old word for heroin. And I definitely do not use horse. Look, the goddess of irony is just dancing around his little punkin head.
Never had it in him. And we have the documentation. We're going to show everything.
Will you run Medina Spirit this weekend in the Preakness? I know you've said that, but they're going to have a meeting tomorrow down there at that race.
No, actually, they're on their way right now. They're in a van. They should arrive this afternoon, and we're definitely planning on running them. I'm going to run two horses.
Okay, Bob, here's my understanding. They were going to have the draw today for the Preakness, and they've kicked it back until tomorrow. You have another review. Those results may not be available for several weeks. So the Preakness goes down this weekend. The Belmont is here in New York 4 weeks from now. I don't know if we have final results even before the Belmont is done, but your plan is to race in the Preakness. Is there a chance they may punt and not allow Medina Spirit to run this weekend?
Well, I haven't heard anything officially. They haven't told me anything. I know when Churchill Downs came out with that statement, that was pretty harsh. And
Dude, it was harsh. It harshed my mellow. And Medina Spirit, you know, Medina Spirit was like, I don't even want my horse kibble. I don't want my oats. I don't want, just forget it. It's fucking, I'm just down.
I think they had to just, you know, it's, you know, with all the noise going out, you know, we live in a different world now. This America's different. And it was like a cancel culture kind of a thing. So they're reviewing it.
There it is. And we chomped down on the hockey puck because a horse failing a drug test is now cancel culture. And just in case anybody was wondering, cancel culture has now officially jumped the fucking shark. Cancel culture. Yeah. Horse gets caught. All roided up. Cancel culture! And that's the whole reason they booked him. They wanted him to say cancel culture. You know, right? And this is in many ways one of the busiest Moran Mondays I've seen in a while. Let's check in with Thomas Humphrey of St. Paul, who videoed himself, Moran, walking out of an Alena Health vaccination site in Oakdale, Minnesota, with a vial of Pfizer vaccines. And left and then a video of him leaving CVS with a vial of Johnson & Johnson vaccine. And on the video, he declares, "This is what they're poisoning everybody with." And, he's been arrested because he claimed that, you know, we've got this and we're sending it to these independent labs. And just check out. Here's some of the stupidity. Because lots of stupidity. It's too freaking much. Stealing vaccines because Merca. Yeah. Oh, God.
I just want to read it. I'm taking the vaccine. I just want to read the vial thing. Okay.
That's a package.
Okay. This is the vaccines in there?
No, sir.
Hey, you.
Sir?
I will be taking my vaccine here, guys. We're going to go test this. We're going to bring it to the lab. I'm going to investigate here. You guys, we'll trade. Here, hey, you can take the mask.
Hey, Rob.
And,
sir?
I'll be taking this vaccine here. Don't touch me, okay?
Hey,
this is my
Rob.
Vaccine, guys. Just want to. Dude,
Rob?
This is poisoning people, okay? So,
Rob?
Just taking my vaccine. We are,
That's not the one you're getting
anyway. It ain't? It's a vaccine though, right? Okay, cool. I mean, I got it, so. It don't matter. We out of here. Glad they didn't lock the doors on me. She didn't want to let me get it. But I got it again, guys. Yes, it is. It's the Johnson & Johnson one. Ugh, I had to finesse that one a little bit. Seemed like they were expecting it or something. But praise the Lord, guys, I got a full vial this time. Full vial. And they're definitely calling the cops. But let's check it out. Yep, the Janssen COVID vaccine.
Yeah. So, in essence, dude here, arguably, has attempted to murder how many people? How many doses are there in one vial of Johnson & Johnson vaccine? Maybe they can produce around. They'll make more. But that's until the next shipment arrives, that's that many vaccines that somebody can't get to save their lives. My God. Sure, it's one isolated incident of stupidity, but this kind of stupidity is all over the country. Because, you know, we have a moron problem. Big moron problem. Meanwhile, down in South Carolina, Stan, wish I was kidding, they're celebrating White Supremacy Day. In South Carolina, Stan, they call it Confederate Memorial Day. And they're celebrating the 258,000 plus traitors to the United States of America who died committing treason, you know, waging war against the United States. That's just today. Meanwhile, they celebrated also in Alabama, Talabama, Florida Stan, Georgia Stan, Kentucky Stan, Louisiana Stan, Mississippi Stan, North Carolina Stan, Texas Stan, and Tennessee Stan. What, Arkansas Stan doesn't? The hell? That's pretty much the entire Confederacy. Still celebrating treason. 156 years after the treason ended. I don't know. Maybe South Carolina could enact a legislative resolution in which they celebrate, the German invasion of Poland. Or maybe Pearl Harbor. Now, they're good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual Republicans, so they certainly won't, they certainly would never pass a state resolution celebrating the Mexican victory over the defenders of slavery at the Alamo, but, I wouldn't put anything past them. Damn. Yeah. Yeah, I know, Ralph. Oh, my God, cancel culture. A horse getting canceled. It's a beautiful thing. And, you know, that's a symbolic thing, but South Carolina Stan did something even more vicious in the last few days. South Carolina Stan canceled, literally, federal unemployment benefits. And so did Greg Gianforte. Remember him? He's the governor of Montana. He's the guy who attacked the reporter from The Guardian and got away with it. But Greg Gianforte in Montana and South Carolina Governor McGovernor are telling people that they can't get, we're canceling your federal unemployment. Fuck you. Because Joe Biden. It's being roundly criticized as stupid. And what it boils down to is that federal unemployment benefits give workers who've been laid off as a result of the pandemic, and we were talking about some of this stuff on Friday on the front porch, an extra $300 a week. At the end of last July, it was $600 a week, but Republicans couldn't tolerate that once Joe Biden got into office. But the claim, of course, and it was advanced not just by Greg Gianforte or McGovernor, but by Lindsey Graham as well. You give people money, and they won't want to go to work for shitty wages. People want to work. People find definition in work. But holy shit, we're rapidly approaching that old Soviet saying from the Soviet days, as long as they pretend to pay us, we'll pretend to work. And I know from personal experience and people I know around here, they're having a hard time finding people to come in and work. But with a lot of jobs, maybe it's because the pay is so shitty. And the best explanation that I've seen came from William Spriggs. He's an economist and professor at Howard University. ABC News interviewed him. He said there's no data at all to prove that unemployment checks keep Americans from going to work. Quoting, he said there's no shortage in terms of workers. There's a wage shortage. Because employers pay rotten wages and have rotten hours and treat people rottenly. And as the Washington Post said, Americans are reassessing what they want to do and how they want to work, whether in an office, at home, or some hybrid combination. Remember, you too can be a hillbilly. I mean, yeah, yesterday was fantastic. I was standing outside trying to keep the steaks from blowing away. You ever seen Brussels sprouts take flight? No. But it was a fantastic day of its sort. Not warm enough, but it's okay. And I got to thinking, a lot of good reasons to come here. Jim Justice doesn't have $12,000 to give to people, but he says he does. And, oh, he'll give it away, $100 a month or something. I don't know. For 120 months. I don't know the particulars of the program because I'm already. But if you work remotely, come on down to West Virginia. Now, I know that around here, every Rippy Mart has a sign in the window, now hiring. And they are, at $7.25 an hour for really hard, miserable convenience store work. I can understand if people don't want to do that. But this is a case of the beatings will continue until morale improves on the part of South Carolina Stan and Montana Stan. And make no mistake, this disease will spread just like any other bad Republican idea spreads. And soon you'll be hearing about it in other Confederate states, other Stan states. Because they want that, because they view workers, they view labor as a problem. And they view people wanting to have a living wage as uppityness. And so what they hope to do is compel people to go to work for fear of starvation. And in fact, the disease has already spread. It spread to Arkansas, where Governor Asa Hutchinson told the Division of Workforce Services to stop Arkansas's participation in federal pandemic unemployment programs. And that will begin on June the 26th. Which is really kind of interesting because the unemployment compensation program only goes until September. But no matter, these Republican governors, well, the working people need to know their place, right? Yeah. And I had Lamar the Magnificent on the line, and well, I guess he gave up. I just wanted to get the filler robster done. And from the Department of, oh my God, this is hilarious. I saw this earlier today. Sparky reminded me of it. Over at Newsmuck, which is like Fox News, only without quite as much talent. Oh, wait. Let me go back here. David in South Carolina staying working remotely from West Virginia, but if you're working remotely from South Carolina and have no rent, security deposits, or utility deposits, Big Jim better come up with a lot more than $12,000. No, that's true. I mean, $12,000 maybe would cover your rent and utilities for a year, tops. But no, back to Newsmuck. This, we'll get there. Scott in San Diego says, just tuned in. Heard something about a horse in trouble with the GOP. Did Mr. Ed plead the fifth or something? No, Miss Medina Spirit came out with a press release, Scott, and said that that he supports critical race theory and the 1619 Project. You know, Medina Spirit is black or brown, after all. Boy, that was a terrible attempt at humor. Back down in South Carolina, Stan. This happened yesterday here, David, in South Carolina. Stan notes, when KFC and Popeyes run out of chicken while Starbucks runs out of coffee, it's time to go home. What's left to do? Well, we're not paying you for not serving the chicken we don't have. And I noticed a little bit of that here, too. And maybe it has something to do with the Colonial Pipeline story, which I find rather interesting. I went, you know how it goes. You're smack dab in the middle of cooking Mother's Day dinner outside on the propane griddle, and the propane tank goes empty. So I did what I always do. Unhooked it, put it in the car, drove up to the Wiggling Pig. No propane. Okay, it's Mother's Day weekend, no big deal. Drove up the road to the other convenience store up on the hill. No propane. Well, big propane weekend. And finally, third time's the charm, the Dollar General actually had some propane, so I got to finish Mother's Day dinner. But there are these weird little shortages. And I've been seeing them for the entirety of the pandemic, and we're finding out more and more just exactly how thoroughly the production processes and have been screwed up. You know, $75 plywood, things like that. And down at the aforementioned Dollar General, while I popped in to get a tank of propane, and they actually had some, I think I got the last one. And I went down the food aisle because for some, I don't know why, but they carry my favorite utility all-purpose, just need some hot sauce at 99 cents for a little bottle of Crystal. I like Crystal. It's every bit as good as McElhaney's Tabasco without paying for the name privilege. Haven't had any for weeks. And they get a truck every Thursday. But there's nothing on the truck. At least no hot sauce. And then there's the Colonial Pipeline. This is a big deal if you're east of the Mississippi River. And I'm certainly no computer genius. Don't pretend to be one. But don't you how do you allow your pipeline computer control system to get taken down by Eastern European hackers with ransomware and shut down the gasoline and natural gas supply to like 40% of the East Coast or 40% of the east of the Mississippi U.S. How's that happen? Again, not a computer genius. Maybe the code writers and folks like that who are can explain, and you're welcome to. I'm open to the learning. But apparently, you know, these Eastern European hackers somehow got in. Which corporate genius that runs the Colonial Pipeline had password for their password? I mean, is this complicated? I don't know. But you know, this is the warfare of the future. Future. And I find it kind of curious
that this just, you know, happens. Okay, David in South Carolina, Stan, says, the hack. Oil companies make enough profit to have adequate network security in place. They've been a known target for decades. They need to pay for this and not pass the cost on to consumers. I agree entirely. And it's being described as a security breach. Why isn't it being described as a function of gross negligence? And I'm kind of conflicted over this. The Colonial Pipeline is 5,500 miles long. And if I recall correctly, and tell me if I'm making a mistake here, didn't that pipeline have horrible problems that shut it down in the not too terribly distant past that didn't have anything to do with the Eastern European hackers? And it's worrisome because it is an act of, at least theoretically, non-state actor asymmetrical warfare. But then again, they're probably, as seems to have been the case, you know, going all the way back to 2015, sponsored by ... fill in the blank, huggable, lovable, cuddleable, snuggleable, wouldn't hurt a flea unless the flea was saying something bad about him. Vlad Putiput. And the thing I think that pisses me off the most is you didn't have anything to do with the hack of the Colonial Pipeline. I didn't have anything to do with it. People going to the pumps didn't have anything to do with it. But guess who's going to take it on the chin? I expect to see my, and I know I'm going to get, I'll get ugly emails from people in parts of the country that don't subsidize their oil companies over the cost of, to the detriment of their citizenry. Places where oil and gas are a lot more expensive than they are here. But I expect it won't be long if it hasn't already happened until. We see, $3 a gallon gas, maybe $4 a gallon gas, because the oil companies themselves are more than happy to punish us for actually putting a Democrat in charge of the White House. And so, oddly enough, I haven't seen a clip yet from Fox News claiming that the Colonial Pipeline has been canceled by Black Lives Matter, Antifa, critical race theory activists. But we'll get screwed. And somewhere along the way, somebody got an email that says, "Hi, how are you?" Oh, that looks friendly. Click. And so while it's described as ransomware, I haven't seen anything, have you? About what the ransom was. By the way, Colonial Pipeline is headquartered in Georgistan. And it was against information technology systems. And when they took when they took action to stop the ransomware, they also stopped the pipeline. And there's only going to be more of this. And well, thank you. It stands to reason. I'm not surprised. David in South Carolina stands says, "Oh, they're already blaming AOC. Yeah, this is because you got your Green New Deal." It's more than just a pain in the ass. It's
a lot more than that. Yeah, the ransomware thing is a problem, Randy Radar pointing out. Some New Jersey city was having trouble hiring lifeguards, so they offered an extra $100 signing bonus. Don't spend it all in one place. I guess a lot of people are going to drown this summer. That's not ransomware. I saw some New Jersey city. Cities have been held hostage by ransomware or over ransomware. But no, where was it? Somewhere in New York. They're offering shot in a beer. You go get your vaccine, and then the local craft brew pub will give you a free beer. That's nice. Oddly enough, as a fully grown, self-actualized adult, I did not have to be promised anything free to get me to go and get my vaccine. That's not because I'm simple or stupid. It's because I don't want to die horizontally crucified, or, what's worse, cause someone else to be. These people. Robert in Australia, password? I worked in IT, information technology. We got a new head of security. He decided to do a scan of passwords to ensure they were reasonably secure. A memo went around a few days later. Words not to be used as passwords. All caps, password, was number one, as apparently about 40% of people were using it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 was not to be used. QWERTY, QWERTY, was not to be used. Any commonly used swear word or combination thereof, not to be used. Your first, last, or middle names, pet names, kids' names, or your husband, wife's name, no. And eventually it came down to the fact that passwords had to be a combination of numbers and letters in random order. Yeah, I know. By the way, Robert adds, Metropolis. As you were speaking about wages and workers, I saw in my mind's eye scenes from the 1928 sci-fi classic Metropolis, workers being fed into the machine, workers returning to their underground homes where the elite don't have to see them. It's all there, made 93 years ago. Signed, Robert. Oz, isolation. Masks are back on here in Sydney. You know, I thought about that earlier today. I was... I stopped at the Wiggling Pig. Agnes said she wanted some bananas. And I got them. But down in the side pocket of the car is my collection of masks. I'd say there's every bit of 10 of them. And I rotate them. I wear one, stuff it back, wear another, stuff it back. And at least in theory, that means that if something does get picked up, it'll die off before I wear the mask again. I wondered to myself, will there ever come a day when I'm not doing that? Now, make West Virginia great big old Governor Jim Justice has said, now, in no way, shape, form, or fashion am I going to force y'all to keep wearing your masks after West Virginia Day. And everybody who loves West Virginia knows that's June the 20th. And after that, ain't nobody going to have to wear no masks. Don't tell make West Virginia great big old Governor Jim Justice, but I'm going to be wearing my mask after June the 20th. Because we ain't safe yet. How about we ain't safe? They're doing everything in their power just to get back to normal and start a LARPing and a smollicking and a grabulating butthole to belly button down in Florida, Stan. Because white supremacist adjacent Ron Monkey Up DeClantis, the governor, who only became governor with the assistance of real live, no kidding, Nazis in a desperately close election where the Nazis made the difference. He's flinging the barn doors wide open down in Florida, Stan. There's only one problem. he flung the barn doors open on spring break. And boy, howdy. Folks came down there and they brought their itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini. But they didn't bring a matching or coordinating itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot mask or any other kind of mask. And they did the aforementioned LARPing and smollicking and grabulating and lollygagged and spewed and hacked and coughed and yelled and screamed and sang and hooted and barked all over each other. And guess what? Of the three variant strains, B117, P1, and B1351, 753 cases were reported back on March 14th. And this was sort of snuck out to ABC News because Ron Monkey Up DeClantis has a clampdown on information. So that was March the 14th. There were 753 variant cases. Then, by April 15th, well, spring break, suddenly there were 5,177 cases from five kinds of variants in a month's time. In 2 weeks' time after that, the number had jumped to 9,248. Not even 2 weeks' time. That was April 27th. And there's really only one thing that accounts for it all. Spring break. The ABC News report said Florida is home to the most variant COVID-19 cases in the country. State health officials reported more than 11,800 cases of COVID-19 variants on Wednesday. The Florida Department of Health released the data as part of a legal settlement with the Orlando Sentinel after the paper sued in March to get a county breakdown of variant cases. And a judge ended up ruling in the paper's favor and said the data was vital to understand how the virus continues to spread and affect Floridians. But it hasn't slowed down the bioterrorist Ron Monkey Up DeClantis. Not even a little bit. Mm-mm. So like I said, I plan on keeping my masks handy for a good long while. Especially given the fact that I had my second Pfizer on April, and if we assume you get 6 months of immunity out of the vaccine, that means I'm going to run out of immunity probably somewhere around October. And we all do kind of need to keep that in the back of our minds. Robin, stop telling us to keep what to keep in the back of our minds. I know. But speaking of Florida, Stan, the story's a little bit older. But a woman in Jacksonville, Florida, who was shopping because she couldn't, you know, she just couldn't wait. She had to go to Pier 1 Imports. The incident happened a year ago. She went to Pier 1 and deliberately coughed on a person who was battling brain cancer. Deborah Hunter went to Pier 1 to return some item that just didn't work out for her. And she wasn't wearing a mask. And Heather Reed Sprague said, would you put on a mask? And Deborah Hunter said, I think I'll get real close to you. How about that? And then coughed in her face. You know, kind of way the way the guy with the tobacco crumb covered tongue coughed in my face a few months ago. Well, about a month ago, a county court judge in Duval County, James Ruth, told Deborah Hunter to go and do 30 days in jail and pay a $500 fine and serve 6 months probation and undergo a mental health evaluation and some anger management help, too. I guess she's out by now, but she did get one day's credit for time served. By way of trying to get out of the sentence, she said, "Well, I'm sorry, and we're social pariahs now because everybody knows what we done." Judge Ruth wasn't having any part of it. Her children didn't create this problem, and her husband didn't, and she talked about how it changed her world, and she was getting nasty grams on Facebook and things of that nature, but they can go to their country club or wherever. But I have yet to see any expression or significant expression on her part of regret about the impact it had on the victim in this case. So I guess one way of putting it is you get 30 days with credit for time served for attempted murder. In Florida, because that's what it was, wasn't it? It was attempted murder. On and on and on. Oh, and we're nearing the halfway point of this Moran Monday, and we're Moran poor. Seems abundantly obvious to me. But if you've got something you'd like to bring to the conversation, well, I heartily encourage you so to do. You can reach the program easily. Bob Kincaid Horn on Skype. Or the stress line, 844-843-4676, 844-THE-HORN. And you're welcome to jump into the conversation. As to spring break in Florida, Steve in New York says, "And the best part? All them fucking kids..." Now, I am sounding like a 50-year-old. "Went back home and are going to spread it all over the place. On a mask note, I think I'm going to take my cues from my Asian brothers and sisters. They wear masks as a matter of course. I think for the rest of my life I will do that. Why? Because I give more than two-thirds of a shit for my fellow human beings. Even though it's clear to me the New Yorkers are asshole motherfuckers who don't care about their fellow humans. Being from the Midwest, my bringings up, was just better than native New Yorkers. For those who may not know, I have confirmation that New Yorkers are generally selfish assholes whose concern for other people stops at the end of their noses. I know of which you speak." And look, for the most part, Asian culture, and by that I mean advanced Asian culture, is pretty much thousands of years older than pretty much anything that white Europe has to offer. And they got a handle on this shit a long time ago. I mean, people in Beijing have been wearing face masks, not necessarily because of any sort of pandemic or anything, but simply because the air in Beijing is not fit to breathe. And they needed some kind of filtration just to stop the particulates and to keep the poisonous air from throwing them into fits of not breathing. Oh, and just by the way, speaking of China, I was listening to National Petroleum Radio this morning as I drove along, and I heard a story about the fact that China has declared that it has eliminated poverty. Sure you have. And that, you know, they eliminate poverty by putting anybody who claims that there's poverty in China into some prison camp and then harvesting their organs, I guess. I don't know. But one of the projects, and I know this is, it sounds so fundamentally American that I kind of chuckled. They talked about that the Chinese, this piece on NPR, talked about the fact that the Chinese solution to poverty involved relocating people from homes where they have probably lived for, yea, verily, generations unto generations. And moving them into hastily built towns filled with identical high-rise apartment buildings. And, you know, made promises of this much money a month, and, you know, you'll never worry about where you live again, and life will be good, and the buildings are festoons with signs saying, "I am living a good life thanks to the Chinese Communist Party." And they talked about how the region where this program and the millions and millions and millions of dollars that were poured into it, the place where this program was put in was one of the poorest places in China. And I thought to myself, because I do a lot of thinking to myself when I'm in the car by myself. I thought, what do you want to bet that the place that they moved these people out of was mountain country? Because it just had such an Appalachian feel to it, except for the part where they actually built houses and built apartment complexes. But we don't do that here. We build McMansions on the rim of the gorge for people who want to come here and telecommute and don't need the $12,000. And so I listened along, and long about the time I was passing our big old Wally World shopping center, the person reporting the story said, "Whatever province is traditionally one of the poorest in China because it's so mountainous. And they and the Chinese government moved people out of their shabby mountain homes and into these big, I don't think they're shiny, towers." I thought, son of a gun, I'm good. Because what they did is they took all these families who were gardening and eking out a living and were hillbillies. Hillbillies are not confined to Appalachia by any stretch of the imagination. There are Chinese hillbillies. There are Afghan hillbillies. And we all share things in common. We're all kind of cantankerous. And we all might piss and moan about where we live, but in the final analysis, we're kind of fond of it. And if you take us away from it, I don't know. It's probably some complicated phrase in Mandarin or something, but we take to pining if you take us out of the hills. Because there I was, with all that wind blowing around me, but cooking and having a lovely day yesterday. And I looked up, and you'll probably laugh. But I looked up, because I try to do this little, it's kind of a mantra. Kurt Vonnegut at one point in time said that he tried to remind himself of how good things could be. You know, not, I won the lottery, but a much more basic sense of the quality of existence. And Kurt Vonnegut said, he would say to himself sometimes in very plain and simple situations, "If this isn't nice, I don't know what is." And so there I was, you know, I was
I was working on the cauliflower and the broccoli, and they were steaming, and I had the Brussels sprouts on the griddle. And I looked up and I said, this isn't nice. I don't know what is. And the wind was beginning to whip the trees around, and the clouds were moving in. And because it's so damned wet, all the green around here is a million different shades of green. The really, really dark, deep part of the forest green, to the lighter greens, and every green in between. And it was just pleasant. And taking Kurt Vonnegut's advice, I said, if this isn't nice, I don't know what is. And then something followed in my mind, and it came unbidden. And I said to myself, I guess everybody can't live in West Virginia, but I sure am lucky that I do, because there's so much wrong here, so much wrong, but it has its redeeming moments, and except for the part where he's toxically dangerous, we have one of the most hilarious governors. In the country. But try that sometime.
Stop telling us what to try, Robin.
Try that sometime. If this isn't nice, I don't know what is. Let's see. Let's have a quick peek at email, and then I'll run to the phones. You might pine for the hills, Stephen, New York says. I pine for the cornfields, soybean fields, the apple orchards, the untouched, vast, snow-covered pastures on a sub-zero cold winter night. Yep. Yeah, it's just all that. But the bottom line is that, lo and behold, yeah, it was a mountain community. They dispossessed all those people, sent them somewhere else, and they're sitting in their brand-new concrete box apartments. And you know what they're doing? They're pining for the hills. Because suddenly, all that happiness that the Chinese Communist Party is allegedly giving them didn't quite work out, because they are displaced. They are acculturated. And they missed their shabby mountain hillbilly existence. Always works out that way. Don't know why. Something about mountains. Brussels sprouts on the griddle, asks Lee in New York. I suppose you were having a plant-based beer, too. Curiously, no. I tried something different yesterday. I got some plain soda water and mixed it with some pineapple-flavored coconut water over ice. Had just a little bit of fizz to it. And it was, it was delicious. No, yesterday it was just a pleasant, you know, no beer, no nothing. Doesn't always have to be, but, well, you know, when I drink beer, I like for it to be a good beef-based beer, Lee. Right. Stephen New York says, good life because of the Chinese Communist Party and the chocolate ration rose from 15 grams to 10 grams this month. No, that's not a mistake. It's right out of 1984. I knew exactly where you were going. That's Orwell. Insulted New Yorker. I knew that would happen, Steve. New York City's been doing fairly well now, Lee points out. I guess the current New York numbers are like positivities are like down to
Daily average over the last 7 days is a decreasing trend. Hospitalization is decreasing. Confirmed deaths decreasing. Total cases decreasing. Yeah, we're not doing so great here. Because, well, if this isn't nice, I don't know what is. But not being able to... Well, let's put it this way. The $100 savings bond thing isn't quite bringing folks in the way that Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice was hoping it would. Beer may be next. Beer may be the key. Let's go check in on the Skype line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello?
Hey, Todd.
Oh. That's disappointing what you just said about the vaccination rate.
Yeah. Scary, too.
Well, exactly. Anyway, oh man, that's terrible. I'm not surprised though. I mean, that's literally what this is why I called. Is about it's about the pandemic. That's why I called.
Okay.
Really, but quickly to the nice bracing beverage. You know, when I was sweating it through school in that nice restaurant, club soda, ice, generous shakes of Angostura bitters and lime. And it's just a little alcohol in the bitters. It's like 90 proof, but you know, but it turns it brown, but it's a bracing. It's a wonderful drink.
Yeah. I find flavored club soda to be quite pleasant.
Yeah. It's bubbly and all that. But, you know, when I look at India, I'm not as confident. I'm just not. And it's a couple of things. Let me ask you this, first of all. Why are the professionals rehashing this aerosolized,
because they can't seem to reach consensus. And it might be because the variants behave differently relative to it.
Okay, you opened the door. So good. Let me ask you this question then. Because remember when we started to see the variants, some of them, in Britain especially, they claimed that it was 50 to 75% more transmissible. Now, which meant that the former guidance of 15 minutes around someone, you know, that gets whittled down rather quickly, right? To just being around a motherfucker. If my math is correct.
Well, yeah, and the thing is, early on they said, well, you know, transmissibility doesn't necessarily mean more death. And then somebody ran the numbers and went, yeah, it does.
No, we said it did anyway. I remember that. Well, of course it does, because this type of virus is new, and every new case you get, that's another opportunity for this virus to go south, you know, do something different, which is not what you want, which is the whole reason why everybody needs to be vaccinated. But, you know, with India on fire, I'm just feeling like we're in a lull because folks are still fighting it against what is just simple history.
And you know, let me point something out, Todd. Over on one of my posts on Facebook, a lovely woman named Sherry pointed out something, and that is this. Where India is now, if COVID Caligula had gotten a second term, we would be India right now. Vaccines wouldn't be getting out. There wouldn't have been any 200 and 200 in 200, 200 million in 200 days. And we would be doing what I was actually predicting and talking about last fall when they started talking about vaccines, and that is, maybe I'll get one in November.
I think you predicted that right. In terms of we need, I'm going to get in third. I don't care who hears me. I'm going to wait about 2 months, But I'm concerned that we have to keep these supplies up because people who are interested, we need to have these vaccines around. I'm around too many different kinds of people from all over the place, man. I'm just not interested in not being protected. I'm over, you know what I mean? At my age, I mean, if it does kill me, I'll be dead anyway, so it doesn't matter. I don't think it'll do it that quickly, but this is a different type of vaccine. And this is a different, this is the thing. This is a different type of virus. We're dealing with a virus that affects your cognitive ability and your physical being. When was the last time you heard of that?
Oh, no.
But anyway, it frightens me.
Well, for good reason. And when it goes wild in a place like India, that means you've got all the more people giving it a chance to, this question is for Dr. Darwin.
You know, exactly. Well, that's what
mutate, yeah.
Mutations cause the variants, and that's it. I mean, that's what they do. This is what viruses do. And this is a successful new virus that appears to be, how the hell can this virus attack any soft spot it finds in your body? It attacks. It's not just the respiratory. Now, there was a little short story on MSNBC tonight about a young girl. She got tested 2 days before her death. She tested positive, and 2 days later, she was a teenager, a young teen. But, of course, that could be an outlier. All I'm saying is that I'm not feeling comfortable. That's the whole point. I'm not yet. I'm really not.
Well, and see, news broke from, I had a breaking news story from the New York Times just as I was coming on air, saying that 12 to 16-year-olds have now been cleared for the Pfizer vaccine.
Well, good.
Please, God, let them have it. Get them to, but you know what's going to follow on that. And in a way, I feel bad for even mentioning what I'm about to mention, because it unintentionally on my part breathes life in to the stupidity, because we're going to have news stories all over the place and they're killing our children, and the religion industry, you know, those cosseted babies of American culture will be out there, you know, because religious freedom hollering, don't get it. You're killing the children, and Jesus won't be able to find their own on the great getting up morning. You know, Todd.
But this is what I don't understand. The blanket, yes, I know. It's already happening. I'm not going to get excited.
Sorry, I got a little excited. I didn't mean to get you worked up.
No, it's fine. But, if I get too worked up, we have to think clearly to get through this, because we have to make up for the folks who aren't, you know, where it's not ticking along properly. Because, you know, they never bring up, what about a sneeze? Like, you're an outdoor concert, right? And you were the group of people, and they're all roommates, and they all have COVID. And one or two of them sneezes here and there, and he's just right there. And then the variants, you know, it's 50% more transmissible. Because I'm telling you, I swear to God, I can feel it when it's in the air. When it's a little bit too much, my nasal cavity starts to tingle, and then I get a little spiky fever, and I know I'm fighting.
Are you saying you can feel it coming in the air tonight? Oh, Lord.
No. No, I mean, when I'm, you know, I'm in an enclosed, but, you know, I'm just saying, I feel stuff in the air. Now, that being said, what I didn't tell you is that, you know, my sense of smell is just out of, you know, I got tested at the Moelle Institute. That's on 30th Street, like next to Drexel, between Drexel and Penn. They do olfactory research. But anyway, so I'm just saying that I have a freakishly acute olfactory, you know, area. And, you know, that's what it's like. I guess, you know, you get this viral load. It's almost like if you have a glass and it overfills, and that's when you develop symptoms. But, you know, seriously, I like, if you look at it, it looks like a piece of pollen. You know, it's got the spikes. Now, I know that sounds crazy, but I'm just telling you, it just really is something to it. Because remember, I've had patrons from China last week, Montana, Oregon, all over the country, all the time, anytime. See, I deal with people from everywhere. And so, you know, that's all I'm saying about that. But I just feel like this is a law because we don't live in a bubble.
Well, look, I was talking about Florida a minute ago, Todd. Florida is the COVID variant capital of America.
Makes sense.
And I just had a story from David in South Carolina, Stan. Most Florida universities will not require incoming students to have the vaccine.
Oh, that's crazy.
No, I mean, just use, if you don't mind, I'm just sort of checking myself. Use your big primate brain and tell me what the result of that's going to be.
That's going to be awful. So in other words, we already have the data. The data is there. Take your emotions out of it. Write it down on a piece of paper. The data is here. Okay, we have people from all over the world in this one state, and mainly in a lot of certain areas. And then we're not going to have these students tested. And we know they, because of their lifestyle, they're close. So those are all the ingredients for doing things the wrong way, I would think.
I would agree.
Because we already know. What about meningitis? It runs rampant through dormitories and living situations with young people. So we already know. We already know how this travels. But this, you know, everybody's on board with this. Just open up. Fine, open up. We're opening up. But you know what? People have to still get vaccinated. And now there's a lull, and states are pushing. They're declining vaccinations. See, I'm stuttering now because it's just, why are they doing that, man? Come on. This shit ain't over. This shit is not over yet.
Well, you know that Matt Gaetz and Marjorie Trader Greene Cuball had this big maggot rally in the villages in Florida?
No.
Well, CNN was on the ground this weekend there at the villages, and they checked in with a couple of maggots about, you know, the election. Let's take a minute, shall we?
Go for it.
You guys both genuinely believe the election was stolen.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's, you know, if you believe that that's true, that is...
Isn't that horrible?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I know it is.
Horrible.
Is it horrible that we would even be in the situation to even think that?
But it's false.
No, it's not. Why would they have all those ballots hidden under tables? Why did that man drive that truck all the way across state lines?
It wasn't like the ballots under table thing with Giuliani in Georgia. That's all been proven to be false.
It
no?
has not.
No.
I watched it on TV.
And there it is. She watched it on TV. Here we are.
Dead. Yo, oh my, okay, that's so bad. But okay, so we have a whole lot of folks who follow this nonsense and following people like this. Simple. I don't say anything.
Well, I'm trying to be a little bit generous here. They obviously get by from day to day. They keep their bills paid. They keep a roof over their head. They came there in a nice car. So they can't be complete simpletons. What if their minds have been manipulated? Because that's what "I saw it on TV" means, isn't it?
Well,
I mean, I've seen a lot of things on TV.
Look. Oh, boy. The host has just made an incredible case for how mass media can manipulate weak minds.
And some mass media does it deliberately. I mean, I can address some of this because I actually had personal experience with it. When I was at CNN, granted, it was a million years ago, but, you know, we didn't have any seminars on how to manipulate people's minds.
Mm-hmm.
We had a manual, we had rules, and we tried our best not to slant it one way or the other. All our casts were strictly Joe Friday. He said, she said, who, what, when, where, why, how much. And you worked to try not to put any slant into it. But that is not how the style manual goes at Fox or Newsmuck or Radio or Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground. We've had expose after expose after expose explaining to us exactly how they instruct employees to manipulate Emery and Marvelline there. I mean, really? I had the clip earlier. They brought a multimillionaire horse trainer on to say that cancel culture got his horse?
They're very skillful. And that's a pet peeve of mine, is cancel culture thing. I had a little discussion with someone just a few days ago who said history is being erased. And so my query was, well, what do you mean? And then they said, well, you know, the statues are being removed. And I said, well, what statues are you talking about? And so, I said, well, if you're talking about statues at courthouses that were erected around 1900 or 1890 or 1880, I said, those were there to intimidate black people in court. They had nothing to do with, you know, loving that general or whoever it was. And see, I'm going to say this, you know, and I'm sorry people's feelings get hurt, but it's just, The sooner people can just admit that folks have ancestors who were traitors, and that's it.
Yeah, it's okay. You know, you're not your DNA. Just because you had an ancestor who was a traitor doesn't mean you're a traitor.
Right. It's that simple. I don't understand how people have a real problem with that.
I mean, it's even enshrined in the Constitution, Todd. Treason shall not work a corruption of blood.
Right. It's an individual act. It doesn't, just because you engaged in espionage or treason doesn't mean that your family did. That's a course that you took.
Yeah.
Now, if an investigation finds out that everyone was, you know, into it, so that's a different thing. But yeah. So, you know, I don't know why folks have a really, I mean, I see things differently. You can't control what someone, I don't care if it's your blood or not, you cannot control what another human being does. And speaking about manipulated, you know, you talk about, all right, we all know about the ghettos, right? The Nazis, when they herded people and put them in ghettos. That wasn't by happenstance. See, there's a body of research that you can replicate. And what happens is that when you pile together mammals in a small space with few resources, they revert to aberrant and criminal behavior. Rat, monkey, any kind of mammal you can think of. I mean, seriously, they get themselves involved in stealing. It's absolutely uncanny. And that's why they knew, you know, the Nazis knew what they were doing when they did what they did in that respect. So, you know, some of this stuff is not by chance.
No, it isn't. And in fact, I mean, if you're going to use the European ghettos as a model, Those were created well before the Nazis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the shtetls and, right. Because Christian Europe.
Well, they didn't like the Jews anyway, so that was it. That's where it's no wonder that you get this offshoot.
You know, it's kind of like there's a there's an analogy to be made between, say, Rosewood and Warsaw.
Mm-hmm. There is.
Tulsa and Warsaw.
Oh. You know.
I mean, if I'm wrong, tell me.
No. And, you know, I'm thinking back some programs ago, just since I've been listening. You know, you know what's gotten us in trouble as a country? Maybe it made us, but it's really not working for us now. Is this whole manifest destiny type thing where because a certain group of people think they know better than everyone else and you know, they're just going to do it their way. And, you know, sure, it got us started, you know, but it doesn't wear well. It doesn't hold up. It just really doesn't. If you understand, if you can kind of see where I'm going with it.
Oh, I do.
Yeah, but we can do better, and we're trying to do better. And you know, this whole thing with these big programs. Guess what? This here's the deal. Damn, here's the deal. You have to come with asking for everything because you know you're only going to get part of what you want anyway. So don't freak out when, you know, we don't get everything. Well, that's not how the system works. It's not how it's supposed to work. But that's why you have to ask for a whole lot up front. Because we have a short amount of time. You got to get the miscreants out of the way, pay them off, get them out of the way, you know, so we can do what we have to do. Because, we see the work we need. And in addition, we have to, you know, we're already in a civil war now. That was made clear when that Confederate flag was planted in the Capitol. And I just think...
Well, that just blew my mind this evening, Jeremy talking about the farm where he grew up, you know, 8 miles from the Canadian border in Vermont, with mm-hmm. an underground railroad stop just down the road, and a maggot sign and a Canadian and a Confederate flag flying in the front yard.
Damn.
I mean, that's a real where the fuck are we kind of moment. Isn't it?
That's hard to process, frankly. That's a little bit too much. That's what I'm saying. We had to be truthful.
Are people doing this? I mean, is this the offshoot of Hank Williams Jr. taking his Confederate flag all over America 30 years ago? Because that seems just too tenuous for me.
I'm just bewildered by the insensitivity. Like maybe this is not well. And here's the flip side that I haven't brought up, and I haven't brought up the police shooting at all. I haven't brought up any of that. But let me bring this up real quick about George Floyd. I thought it was very curious. Around maybe near the end of the trial, about 75% of the way done, and there's a store called Menards, which is a big.
I know what it is.
Okay. So there's a man who has a distinctly Norwegian last name. Well, not Norwegian, Scandinavian. Finland, Norway, Sweden, somewhere in there. Right. He gets upset because he's not wearing a mask and the cashier won't cash him out until he puts his mask on. Now, of course, we can't believe all police reports. We know that. However, this is what the report said. He hit the cashier in the head with a piece of lumber. Then he got into another altercation with someone else who was trying to restrain him. He went out, got in his truck, police came. He fought with them. He had one of these emergency hammers you have in your car where you can break break the glass nicely, you know, and get out. Hit the policeman in that, you know, with that in the head. And of course he walked away alive.
Yeah,
very much. Fun.
I don't have to ask about the melanin content of his.
No, he once again, his last name, it was clearly from Scandinavia. You know, and yeah. Anyone can Google it. Google Menards and I mean, this was like I said, during the trial. So, you know, we're not making this shit up. People are just getting weary. And this is the reason I brought it up is, why are so many white people upset with Black Lives Matter? What in the fuck do you expect us to do?
No, it's like Lamar said last week. If you don't want us woke, you should have let us stay asleep.
Well, but they're convinced, even though the statistics say, 96% of the protests are peaceful?
Yeah.
The word is not out that, you know, the people who shot up the Minnesota police station, those were, you know, Proud Boys, and they got arrested. FBI got them.
But it doesn't matter, Todd, because everything from Me Too to Black Lives Matter to Antifa to the 1619 Project to wokeness to critical race theory to intersectional feminism, anything that represents a greater attempt to understand who we are as we are, if it does not affirm whiteness, and in particular whiteness and maleness, don't want it. Because it's a threat, because there's this zero-sum game, limited quantum of privilege and power theory that says that any time one group gets something, something is taken away somewhere else. And it's wrong, but it is bone damn deep in white America.
Well, you said a mouthful.
I mean, at the risk of running people off, you know, here we go again. There was a great article at AL.com. It's on my Facebook page. A doctor who works with the adolescent pediatric gender clinic at the University of Alabama, Birmingham, saying, you know, the government of Alabama is about to turn me into a criminal. And I assure you, I'm not a criminal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because they are so afraid if there is validation for trans kids that somehow that will invalidate their cis kids. Or, as another friend of mine put it, you know, we don't want to turn cis kids trans. We want trans kids to survive. Because it's real. But, you know, the good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual, Christian Republicans in places like Alabama and Arkansas and West Virginia, South Carolina, they cannot see the freedom of a marginalized group as anything but a threat to their power and authority. I mean, I know perhaps there are people of color who do not like to have the civil rights struggle equated to the struggle of women or the struggle of the LGBTQIA+ community, but that to the extent that they are all struggles for human rights, they are all kindred struggles. Am I wrong?
Well, that's the least, if not for the least of us, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We have to protect the least of us. Not to say this, but I mean, you know, honestly, it's like, why would people go through all that if that's not really who they are? So that's
trust me, you don't.
You know what I mean? So that's all you need to know right there. I mean, that's silly. I mean, accept people. Look, it's just the way it is. Come on. It's just, but you see, once again, some people are just, they're very closed-minded. I hate to, you know, everybody uses that phrase, but I guess that it fits. But I do critical thinking now. I don't know what happened to critical thinking. It's really sad.
Yeah, well, with a lot of people, it's never really been a priority in the first place, and it's gone the way of the damn dodo.
But
I see that's what makes life interesting sometimes. Like, you know, you might think, well, I'm really firmly in this, this is what I believe, da, da, da. And then, okay, you listen to what other people say. This is why people had salons and parlors back in the day, you know. And it still do. It's not called that. You know, we folks sit around and you know, relax or whatever and have discussions and contemplate things. And then before you know it, it's like, you know what? We should have an organization. We all believe this. You know, folks, look, and you know what's interesting with all this racial shit going on? And I hate when white people say, as soon as you bring up something about race, they're like, why you got to bring race into it? Because, what the fuck are you saying?
Because it is a component of it all.
Like, that's a, like, you totaling yourself when you say that. You know, just be quiet. If somebody's calling you a racist for a reason, because it means you're fucking racist. Sorry. I mean, you know, we're expert in this shit now. We got it down pat. You know, we're professionals. But, we have to do better, because what happens is that, you know, when you're in small groups, this is why small group learning works. It's hard to be hateful and judgmental and nasty in a small group, because you can ask people questions. And what happens is that when you ask people questions, it makes them, they have to operate in a different way. Yeah. And that's a good thing. A triad is a good thing. You know? That's all I'm saying. Small groups. And, because we're going to be facing some, man, we can't believe all this shit. Liz Cheney is, but it defies statistics. She has voted with the fascist 90-some% of the time. 90-some% of the time. You have an ally. You have a political ally right there. That's all you need to see on paper. Boom. Right? But no, you want to take, you know, the robber woman. Yeah. So. Well, look. So anyway, what have you been cooking lately?
Oh, yesterday and the day before were a lot of fun. Saturday, one of the women who is a fantastic cook across the river made food that, you know, you take, she made it, and then you take it home and prepare it. And So I was expecting that it was going to pour the rain. And so I did Mother's Day dinner on Saturday when it wasn't pouring. And that was homemade raviolis in cream sauce and crab cakes, which were raw, and I brought them home and fixed them on the griddle on the Blackstone. Fantastic. But then it didn't pour down rain all day on Sunday. So I said, let's do it again. And got some good beef and did fantastic vegetables and shared it out, made dinner for Agnes and Ferg for his girlfriend. And that was the bacon wrapped beef. And in addition to that, a steamed broccoli and cauliflower medley that I melt. I used the Aldi umami seasoning and added some fantastic blue cheese that has a little vein of chili pepper running through it. And
That sounds good. Yeah, I like that.
And since there was a little one involved, I did some glazed cooked baby carrots in orange pineapple juice with brown sugar and butter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I think what everybody, and then Ferg did the mashed potatoes, and they were fantastic. And today,
I was just thinking about mashed potatoes. That's funny.
And today we put the leftovers in the fridge, and today I did that most wonderful, I don't know if anybody else did, but it's a thing. You take leftover mashed potatoes, and they're cold and good and stiff, and griddled them into mashed potato cakes with that beautiful, beautiful golden crust. And they were heavenly. But the thing I was proudest of, it's something that my pals at Secret Sandwich Society were doing before Secret burned, and I haven't had them since. But from the ground up Brussels sprouts, I don't mean from the ground up, but got them fresh and raw out of the produce section, trimmed them, cleaned them, parboiled them, blanched them, basically, not parboiled, blanched them in boiling water for a while, just till they got a little bit tender, and then shocked them in ice cold water, pulled them out, split them, got the butter.
Did it turn bright green when you did that?
Oh, yeah. And melted that good Kerrygold butter on the griddle.
Oh.
And put them face down, flat side down, and in the butter, and hit them with dill weed and a little bit of water, and let them steam under the dome. And then after a while, I pulled the dome off. Put freshly grated Parmesan cheese on them. Put the dome back on, and then with the crusty golden Parmesan lace all around them, I took the whole group of them on a big wide spatula and plated them, and then squeezed lemon juice all over them with really coarsely fine ground salt.
Pepper. Oh, wow. See, that's that we're dirt, man. That shit. You know, that's one thing I love about good Parmesan cheese. It's not only cheese, it's a seasoning. It has its own distinctive flavor. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Corn. Well, you just made everyone hungry. Well, I've been eating cardboard and fake steak sauce.
You want to elaborate on that?
No. No, it just came out. My filter was temporarily not there. So, yeah.
Well, what is the fake? I want to know about the fake steak sauce.
I'm telling you, it wasn't there. No, this is not. No, let me tell you what happened. I used, it's not fake at all. This is like super good. Always keep some black bean sauce in the refrigerator. Black bean sauce is magic.
Ooh, from the Asian section of the your grocer's aisle.
Yes. It is. It's like distilled down black beans with some seasoning, and it is like magic on vegetables. And so you know, I just did traditional. All I'm saying is that never be afraid of sautéing down some vidalia onions and fresh mushrooms. Because that's the start of a good meal, no matter how you cut it. There's a whole lot you can do with that. And once you get that, you know, there's a lot you can do. But, you know, so much food, so little time.
Oh, yeah. And I'm looking forward to the cooking I have planned to do over across the river here in about a month, and that should be a blast.
Then it's going to go. Okay, good.
And the response to the spicy hot yellow slaw has been overwhelming. People come up and say, "When are you going to make that slaw again? Will you teach me how to make that slaw? I want to know how to make that slaw." And I'm kind of like, but you know, it was given to me, and I figured it out some of it on my own. So you know, no sense being an asshole about it.
Hey man, give the people what they want.
But if I see a restaurant start serving barbecue and that yellow slaw, I'm going to be pissed.
they're taking it home to the lab, and they're trying to figure out exactly how you make it.
It's not that complicated, though. I mean, I've talked about the recipe for it here.
Yeah, but, you know, some people just...
But it's all in the ratio.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's where it all is.
Now, you know, you've talked about the Alabama, North Alabama, clear barbecue sauce.
Oh, the white, yeah, that's like actually white barbecue sauce.
White barbecue, right. So I've been experimenting with that, and I tell you, that really, that's a nice little twist. That's nice.
And the fact that it all disappears once you paint it on your wings or whatever. Or you know what it's best on? Those boneless, skinless chicken breasts or chicken thighs.
Oh. Well, I just got this thing down now for the people love this. The grilled chicken breasts, and I usually slice them in half. And I'll have both halves on the roll, but it's just, you know, you don't want a thick slab of meat sometimes. It's a little bit better slicing. But with barbecue sauce, grilled onion. But the breasts are always, you know, moist. You know, get the griddle really hot, the grill. I use a grill, I put the marks on it.
Yeah. Beautiful crosshatch.
You know, right, exactly. And, you know, and I've seen people, reputable folk who make, you know, my God, they have houses all over the world, say, don't spray chicken with oil. I'm like, I don't know about that. Ah, no. That's a light spritz or bathe it a little bit in oil. You have to. And you do it hot. And, like, people complain, well, the chicken's dry. If you cook it properly, it's not going to be dry. It's really not. It's really not. It's not. And it just comes out great. And you put bacon and cheese on it. Oh, my God.
Oh, on a nice hoagie roll?
Yes. See? Exactly. Yep. It has some steak fries with it, you know. Fresh
and see, if you
fries.
Shredded it up nice, it would go great with that yellow slaw.
Well, see, now, that slaw is good, nice and cold, and ice cold.
Well, actually, no, you don't. It's not like it, no. If it's room temperature, it's best.
Get out.
No, because you don't want something making nice hot barbecue cold.
Oh, I see. Well, I mean, it sounds delicious. You know, I've heard you talk about it before. That's why I brought up the white barbecue sauce, because that was always coming pretty soon. So, are they still having the Kaneka?
There's been a little bit of a production shortage. So the only thing that my guy can get up at the Wiggling Pig is the Cajun right now. But that's okay.
Well, it's better than nothing.
Oh, it's so okay.
Now, I heard, you know, you brought up the Udomame. I'm looking at my cabinet now. Trader Joe's has a nice, they got a nice one right now, but you never know with them. You know, they get to stop selling it.
Right, I got to go back over. I got to stop at Aldi next time I'm in Beckley, because I just don't want to run out of this. It's such a game changer.
Shit, that stuff is magic. And so they have this other thing too that has kelp in it, and it's, you know, it's Japanese. It's called furikake. It's Japanese multi-purpose seasoning. It has sesame seeds, black sesame seeds, black seaweed, salt, and
ooh,
kelp.
Ooh, magic.
This is right. And that stuff is no joke. Now, I've come to like nori, like, because I made miso from scratch. And, you know, it's nice to have that seaweed in there. It just gives it that nice touch. You know? But I thought, that's it. Well, look, best to you and yours and all that good jazz.
Oh, thank you.
And
you know, I guess maybe spring's actually getting to you. It's not here. This is the damnedest May I've ever seen.
Well, you know,
we had one pretty day, May 1st. After that, bang, shit.
It's dreary. It's dreary right now. I don't know what's going. It's
magic word, dreary.
I mean, the peak of sun. It's just strange. So, but the way the sun comes through the clouds, it does highlight the greenery. You know.
All the shades of green is amazing. But the thing is, I have had bad sunburns by this time of the year. Most springs, you know, because my sunburn under the refrigerator bulb, and it, like yesterday, I should have come in yesterday. You know, torched.
Your pinkishness.
Oh, I'm losing. I'm even losing my pink.
You got to work on that. I don't know what to tell you.
I'm verging on fucking translucent. Not pretty.
It's not pretty. You want to get a nice even tone, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, I mean, freckles. You know, my melanin exists in spots.
Speaking of spots, Tim Scott.
wait, time out.
I mean, come on, dude. Come on, man. Just, you know, this is what I don't understand now. At this point, our friends, neighbors, relatives who are Republican, you have to really ask them, well, why are you with this party? You know, this is what they do. This is what they say. This is what they defend. See, I don't think they took January 6th seriously enough.
No, we're still talking about it as if it was a demonstration gone wrong.
Yeah, no. Yeah, but see, no. That was it was the timing. See, the timing is everything. With this case, the timing is everything because that's when they were transferring the votes. That was like basically the official part of the transfer of power. You know, they were counting electoral college votes. And
looking for bamboo in the paper in Arizona.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, wait, we hadn't talked. See, it's so much. This shit, it has subsided, but it hasn't stopped. How in the fuck is it legal to trust a bunch of miscreants with state business? That is ridiculous.
Yeah, I know.
That doesn't pass the smell test. It does not.
No,
it does not. And I understand you probably want to talk to someone, but let me say one thing about the type of policing that we want. Americans want good, honest, competent policing, unencumbered by social service activities. You know, we don't need our police to be social workers with weapons. It doesn't work. And we also, for some reason, there's a nice little chunk of our population who believes that, well, whatever the law enforcement person does on the street is okay. Because, they resisted arrest, or they did this, or they did that. But maybe they don't understand that is not their function. Their function is to bring people into custody so they can see their day in court. And once they get to the point where they're unable to fulfill that goal, that means we need to do something differently. Because if it's okay, if you're saying it's okay to use deadly force for a simple traffic stop where you already have the suspect's information, you know their whereabouts, you know pretty much everything about them, but they ran away and you got mad and you shot them. Well, at that point, we are giving that group of citizens who are officers, law enforcement, we're giving them judge, jury, and executioner-type powers. And if that's what we want, fine, just say that. However, just like with judges, they should be beyond reproach. You can't have any complaints. You can't have anybody even say that you're a bad person. And if they're not willing to be under that type of scrutiny, then no, they stop engaging in this illegal activity. Because a lot of this shit just seems to be, they're just mad. They took it personally. And that's not their job.
No,
it's not the end. You know, and I'm you know, there's too many people out here who think, well, just because someone's in law enforcement, that whatever they say is right, and that's just absolutely not true empirically. So really, the fact that we have to even discuss this is a problem.
Right, and the problem with cops getting stuff wrong is when they get it wrong in real time, they get to go on getting it wrong. You know, there's this old concept of the fruit of the poisonous tree. The idea that being that if the tree is poisonous, the fruit that comes off of it will be too.
Mm-hmm.
And so when a cop gets something wrong out in the real world, then everything that flows from his wrong decision will be wrong as well. and you just create this cavalcade of wrong.
Right, because it never should have gone any further, period, in the first place. Right. Yep. Exactly. And you know, it's unfortunate because I just don't understand this doubling down in the face of all this scrutiny.
But we don't get. Oh. But that's that. I mean, that I think that's nominally how we do it. I mean, I know it's an entirely separate story, but over the weekend there was news out of Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of ho hum. And don't email me over saying it's ho hum. It's not ho hum.
You mean about the school? Well, you know what?
Yeah.
I've been thinking about this.
It's a goddamn
right.
Horror. So, 68 people, most of them, scores of them, little teenage girls trying to go to school and learn to, you know, read and write and do the arithmetic and all of that.
Okay. This is a question we have to ask ourselves.
And they were massacred.
Right. Well, we know now, we've always known, and we know even more with the type of people that we're dealing with. Now, they obviously want a theocracy.
But we don't have clean hands either.
No, we don't. That's my point. I'm getting to
the Afghan puppet government that we set up, in many cases, like the story I covered a couple of weeks ago, they just stand by and let it happen.
Right.
They lop off a head here or there, and not really worth the bullets.
That's the way they do things. And that's the truth. I mean, now at this point, come on. Those people don't want us over there. That's the way they want to live for right now.
But I think one of the stories that bugged me the most, and it's a reminder that in any of these conflicts over there, there are no good guys. None. And it comes out of Sana'a in Yemen. A young woman, a model, beautiful, it doesn't matter, but she is. The little place where she is run by the Iranian-backed rebels. Of course, the Saudis are trying to push them out. And so we have aided the Saudis in tormenting those people beyond all endurance, you know, famine, plague, misery, death, you know. But the Iranian-backed rebels are no, you know, no angels. So they have gotten their hands on this young woman. She is part... Oh, God. She's part Ethiopian, I think.
Well, she has some pretty wide-set eyes.
And she is being subjected to a virginity test.
Oh, no.
She has been tortured. She's 19 years old. Yemeni father, Ethiopian mama. She's been interrogated while blindfolded. She's been physically and verbally abused and subjected to racist insults. All of this documented by Amnesty International. She was arrested in February by Iranian-backed Houthi rebels, who, at the same time that they're fighting back against the Saudis, where they have control, are imposing a morality campaign. Under torture, they forced her to confess to drug possession and prostitution.
Terrible.
And a little while back, her lawyer was told by the so-called prosecutors that they were going to give her a virginity test.
So these old fat, hairy, greasy dudes, and then you see this beautiful young lady, and they're like, man, we can do this, because who's going to stop us?
Yeah.
And they engage in that corruption. You know, most people are good. Most people are good. Now, those people are not. But, that's so sad. I mean, what? What is wrong with these people?
Well, there's not a lot of good to be had out of the patriarchal Abrahamic religions. That's not saying that others are clean in this.
No, but I know what you're saying. But see, that's the truth. See, people don't like the fact. Once again, take your emotions out. Just write down on a piece of paper with the T, cross T, plus, minus, blah, blah, blah. At every turn, women are subjugated. They got to do this. They got to do that. You know, it's a bunch of nonsense.
And you know what really inflamed and incensed the Houthi religious maniacs?
Mm.
She went out in public and didn't cover her filthy female hair. Because you know, in those societies, you have to cover your filthy female hair because males in that society can't control themselves. They're just walking rape machines. And if they see a woman with her hair uncovered, my God, they just go wild and they have a big sad because they have a little something else.
Well, isn't that something?
It's sickening.
Well,
how do you bring a peace to a country like that?
We're back to that.
We're going to let the Saudis win. Oh, okay. Well, the Saudi Wasabi or Wahhabi religious police. Sorry about the Wasabi there. The Wahhabi religious police will come in and enforce, making sure that the filthy, heathen, sinful women cover their filthy, evil, sinful female hair on their heads that are filthy and female. Oh, no. Okay. Well, those are obviously dickheads. Let's support the Houthi rebels. Oh, well, good. Then they can kidnap, they can kidnap 19-year-old girls and subject them to virginity tests for walking around without covering their filthy, sinful, evil, wicked, sexual, the passion inflaming hair on their heads with the, God damn it.
You know, there must be some research out there as to why, in general, through history, women have been hated and subjugated, even though they're loved at the same time.
Well, no, they're not loved. They're lusted after. They are sought as property. I mean, look, I can tell you exactly how old pretty damn close, how old the Married Women's Property Act is in West Virginia. It's about 155 years old. A law that said women can own property on their own, even if they're married.
Yeah, you know, that is tricky, because in general, that's, you know, it was real tricky. Like, a handful of women were able to conduct business like men, but it's not quite clear, you know,
how
you get
that. Because prior to that, if a woman owned property and she was married, the property became the property of her husband, because she was the property of her husband. And that's 150 years ago in an enlightened, white, European, Christian society.
That wasn't that long ago, I hate to tell you.
Yup.
Well, anyway, we've been drinking.
And it's all driven, Todd. I know it sounds simplistic, but it's you know, the anthropologists have at least posited a reason for all of this. And it goes back to the replace, and you can read about it in Genesis, the replacement of a matriarchy with a patriarchy. It's right there. How Abraham sets up his sky god cult to replace his wife's earth mother goddess cult. And then your next thing you know, the sky god's telling him to go and murder his kid.
But here's the thing. In our society, in Western society, and I'm going to appear to be gender insensitive or generalizing, but I'm just going to say my observation has been, in general, women are stronger than men. They deal with a whole lot of crap. They go to work. They take care of the kids. And we complain about, you know, stuff. I mean, we have it hard, too, but it's different. It's the stuff that they do in general compared to what we're, you know, we do what we do. But they can wear a lot of hats at once. Women can they multitask a little bit better, you know, and it's just a little more rational sometimes, and they're able to negotiate maybe sometimes better. But, and once again, that's a generalization, but I don't even know. I thought, you know, whatever. It's just maybe in our culture. That's what I said, our culture.
Yeah, right.
In our culture, you know. Here in America, because you know, you look around. Come on, man! Look what these mothers do. You know, we want to come home, eat, and watch. You know, do what we got to do, and then you know, get ready for the next day. And they're already doing homework, changing diapers, and
well, we know that in the course of the pandemic, that women have borne the brunt of the job losses and the extra labor. Fact.
Oh, did you? Did you hear Ratner? You know, these people, I don't understand. I've been thinking about this. Remember, if you tested positive for COVID, really, legally, in some places, you were supposed to quarantine. So these people need to stop with folks getting money. That means you lost money. You will never get back. That's why people need money to pay their mortgages. You know, people are behind on their mortgages. Come on. You get sick. You're missing weeks.
Right, and remember last week, a maggot judge ruled that the CDC does not have the authority to put a moratorium on evictions.
Mm-hmm.
So the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, does not actually have the ability to control diseases by making sure that people are not put out on the streets. With an aerosol airborne virus kicking people out of their homes onto the streets is a great way to spread disease.
So how about some nice up and coming folks at the Justice Department, you know, how about if they do some legal research and figure out a way?
No, they're already appealing, but look where it's going to go.
Well, that's why we need to add to the Supreme Court. That's number one. We see that. I'm sorry. We got no choice. Yeah, we have no choice on that. And especially because of Mitch McConnell, because he's been such a fucking, you know, prick. And he's been an unsavory character for quite some time. And, it's time for something different. You know, fuck these people. It's time. I don't care what they think, what they say. Fuck that. You know, let us have it our way for a few years. And have them, because we put up, this fucker fucked the world up. Not just our country, the world. Everything's in disarray because this is his fucking dumbass. And because a lot of white folks, a lot of people just, you know, they heard what they'd like to hear. And rah, 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 you know, I'm sorry that, you know, they feel that way. You know, people's feelings and facts are different things sometimes, many times. You know, we need to look out for the gray. I'm sorry. Am I ranting? I'm sorry.
No, you're not ranting at all. I mean, I think you're right there.
What this wages thing? You know, number one, if you get called back to work and you don't show up, if you do receive money, they're going to track that, and you'll be liable for that money. That's number one. So I don't know how they get this half-truth keep floating around out there like that. Number two, people haven't been making enough money. It doesn't fucking matter. It's the child care. It's the child care. It's the child care. And a bunch of, in addition to being unsafe. You know?
Yeah.
It's a lot. You know, it's just, ugh. We're not done with these things.
No, no. And by the way, you're getting a little grief from Brother Deacon Asa. Is CT, Classy Todd, kidding? Cajun Kaneka, yes, yes, all day, every day, twice on Sunday. I prefer, you know, because there's a Cajun and there's a hot and there's a regular. I like the hot.
The hot is really hot, and I like it like that. But yeah. But they're all
good. What I can't get, and what's even hard to find if you get way down, is the black pepper. And the black pepper.
I've never seen it. Are you kidding me? There's a black pepper?
Yes. I love that. Just almost sub-vocal.
By the way,
Dave in the Blind says, oh, my God, I'm gaining weight just listening to you two talk about food. I'm about to dig into some leftover pizza. Hey, pizza, you know, when it's good, it's great. When it's not so good, it's still okay.
It's still okay.
Yeah.
You know, and, oh, boy.
And Jude, we were talking about, you know, why do they do what they do relative to women? Women's innate power, Jude says, being vessels to bring forth life, this inner chamber is a mystery, and many of these hardcore patriarchal fundamentalists cannot bear, pardon the pun, that they are left locked inside a barren soil of their own making, and when in doubt, they are contained in the rigidity of mindset that extracts life. Yeah. They know that they are of limited purpose, and that's the entire reason, going back into the dim, dark mists of our sedentary agricultural past, because it doesn't seem to have been a problem in hunter-gatherer societies.
No.
That's why they created patriarchy. Because they were afraid, and they did not understand. And they felt like the creative life power was too much power.
Insecure. Insecure.
Yeah. I mean, male insecurity is all over the place down through history. I mean, look at the Roman myth of the rape of the Sabine women.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and there was, I did see a story about in an Italian town in what was known as an enclave of the Samnites, who were a tribal people who were near the Romans, Etruscan history, that kind of stuff. They found it was just the head of a bust of Caesar Augustus at a time.
Really?
At a time when he was young. He had gotten power. He had become the first man of Rome, but this statue was set up in that town, and we don't know if it was an extension of power or an extension of gratitude, but everybody's all kinds of excited.
Well, there's some leads to follow from that. Yeah. Oh, some people are on that. That's kind of cool.
Oh, I thought it was really neat. I love stuff like that.
Yeah. That's the thing. We leave behind things. People always finding things around here. But so, have you seen that minute that newfangled Minotaur?
No, what?
The Minotaur. He's all over TV. The motorcycle Minotaur.
Oh no, I haven't seen. Well, I mean, I saw. Is there a new commercial? I mean, I've seen him. You know.
LeBron James, the motorcycle Minotaur. Oh, that's all.
Yeah. I've seen him at the gym. Is that LeBron? Or is that just somebody they found to look like LeBron?
Who knows? I don't know. I have to check his bank account. We'll see what happens. Well, hey, thanks for taking my call.
Always a pleasure, my friend. Always a pleasure.
Absolutely. You take care.
I'll wait another week for 70 degrees.
It's coming.
Ah, God, I hope so. Because it's downright cold and clammy back here.
Oh, I forgot. You got the altitude. That's right.
But good things are hell. I mean, the sky was down on the ground this morning.
Damn.
You know, it wasn't even raining, but it was just this, you were just driving through wet in the air.
You're getting that dampness coming up through the floor today, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is the year I can't get out of kerosene season. I hate it. Sucks.
I don't know what's going on. I mean, one day we're using the heat and the air and the heat. That is the truth. Now, the plants like it. Like, it's oleander I'm looking at right now.
Yeah, theoretically, we can now plant our gardens because Mother's Day's passed. But I wouldn't plant in this shit.
Well, a couple days ago, I planted some wildflowers, some marigolds, gladiolus, Hofstra.
Oh, pretty.
There's some colors about to come. And my rose bush, man. I catch people slowing down looking at my rose bush.
Okay. Wonder if he's watching. Reckon we could go and snip a couple?
The colors are so, the red is so just deep and vibrant. My neighbor, she said, put banana peels on it. And I said, okay. And boy, oh boy, I tell you.
Worked.
It makes a difference. Oh, the colors came out so much better. Yes. Man, it's budding. Oh, it's great. I keep deadheading.
And that way, any potential rose thieves will slip and bust their ass.
Well,
I'm pathetic. Anything for a cheap laugh.
Come on. Nothing wrong with that. Well, look, everybody's looking forward to hearing you tomorrow. I guess you'll be on tomorrow, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No reason I shouldn't be here all week. Don't try the veal.
You know what? I have to say this. There has been some really good movies on Turner lately.
No, and Turner's been good.
Turner.
TCM.
Yeah, TCM. Yeah, and I know it's kitschy and it's kind of stupid, but Judge Roy Bean with Newman.
I love that. Yeah. Yes.
How these women beat him up for the beginning?
Well, you know, back before I made a certain announcement, I took great pleasure in that wasn't in that one clip. I'm not talking about Mexican top Bob. I'm talking about bad Bob, the mean one. What color do you what? How do you want your horse done, Bob, Mr. Bob?
Blue.
Stacy Keach, absolutely just, you know, the white hair, pale, you know, and drinking the coffee up off the fire, straight out of the nozzle, and then pulling an onion out of the ground and eating it like an apple.
Everybody's in that fucking movie. Roddy McDowell, Ned Beatty, Newman. How the fuck did they get all these people in the same damn movie?
Oh, people wanted to do movies with Paul Newman. Beano! Yeah, but it had it. But what they were doing, that movie basically followed the formula of Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. It had a stupid pop song in it, just like Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid had Raindrops Are Falling on My Head, and this had Marmalade, Molasses, and Honey. And it was a little bit funny, and viewed through the lens of 2021, the obsession with Lily Langtry is a little weird.
Yeah, but that was a big deal then. That's not weird to me because that's what I do. She was like, man, that was like, if you were, that was as close as you could get.
The Jersey Lily.
Yeah. In other words, she was slightly scandalous, but, not quite so. That was a big deal.
Oh, and isn't that what ultimately gets Bad Bob shot? Beano!
Oh, yeah.
Lily Langtree is a whore.
Oh, no, you can't say that. That's done. No.
Or is that a different part of the movie? Got it. Of all the movies, of all the movies you might have brought up, I did not expect that one. But yeah, that's yeah.
I caught you off guard.
Yeah, I love that one though.
Okay, so a good movie is a good movie, and I wasn't expecting that. And I'm folks are rewatching 2001: Space Odyssey also, but What do you think is going to happen? I know you want to go, and I have to go.
Oh, I'm not in a hurry.
No, okay.
We got a couple of minutes.
All right. So let's go back to this, what Bernie Sanders got right in terms of, when you bargain, when you go to buy a car or whatever, you have to go into knowing you're going to negotiate. You sell on the buying, whatever. You got to have some middle point where you meet. And once again, that's why you ask for everything, hoping to get some of what you ask for.
Right.
But what's different in this occasion is that the things that we're demanding, at least my camp, me, I'm being selfish, me.
Yeah, sure.
And is stuff that we have to have anyway. I mean, we have to do this. It's like you cannot... This is something everyone can agree on, is infrastructure. I remember Northridge when the highways pancaked on each other out in California. That probably never got fixed properly. But beyond that, I'm a Northeast, born and bred type person. And I've said this many times. I'm going to say it again because it hadn't changed. And even in D.C., come on, man, these trestles and the tracks run all over the place and all deteriorated. It was just begging for disaster. And, like these crooked police, it just ends up costing money. Because Derek Chauvin is not worth $27 million in county.
By the way, and I guess there's a federal prosecution going to go on?
Oh, yeah.
And that was, what a difference an election makes.
See, this is exactly, oh my God, right. All along, this is what we said would have to happen. We can't clean their house. They have to be honest about, when I say they, I'm sorry, his peer group, the folks he works with and for, they have to help us along. We're not trying to defund law enforcement. We're trying to help them evolve and reallocate funds because it's unfair for them to have to engage in social services. Under stress like that, and not training for that. They're not. You just get lucky. If everything goes okay, you just got lucky.
Right.
And that's not a way to live. And, it's just not. Our literacy rate is just frankly too low to afford that type of leeway to average folks.
Well, I think, Mike, with the infrastructure bill, I think it's another case of the Republicans know goddamn good and well that if they let this through and we start making America a better place by working on the most basic things that we need, that it will expose them for the shitbirds that they are.
I like this conversation, but this is like musical chairs. In a way, because, we had a chance to do it before. We didn't get it done. They had a chance to do it. They couldn't do it. But we're going to stop the music now. You don't understand what I'm saying? We're going to stop and we're going to get our seat.
Yeah.
We're going to get something. We're going to get something through because, have we not learned anything? Our broadband and our grid, my God, we're getting hacked left and right. We have to harden our grid. And things are getting more electrical as everything we do now is based on electricity. That's a no-brainer. So what's the fucking problem? We print our own money. Don't worry about what it doesn't matter what it costs. You're making jobs. Those people are paying taxes. You know, because you're taking it out of their check. So that's a fucking, that's a non sequitur. That's a, you know, you don't even start.
And you know, meanwhile, Trey pointed out something to me earlier in the program. And it's inspiring to see this stuff. I think the Joe Manchins of the world would say, well, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't care how inspiring. He can say inspiring things, but he's going to come away with nothing. But Bernie is calling for, and I agree wholeheartedly, lowering the Medicare eligibility age from 65 to 55 and expanding it to dental, vision, and hearing. And I guess that's going to be in the next big Democrat bill. Good.
You know what? The only thing that can come out of that is a healthier America. That's a healthier America. That's the only thing.
And we can't have that.
I mean, God forbid we're around healthy people. I want those pestilence-ridden folk all around me crawling up my leg and shit.
Well, we don't want we don't want those people living to old age.
Yeah, but everybody is those people.
Right. Everybody who is not a Republican oligarch or a Republican servant of oligarchs.
Well, now, see, this is what you're doing now. Now you have narrowed this shit down. This is exactly what we're dealing with, about maybe 600 or 700,000 people who are very wealthy, and they feel like, you know what, there's too many other bottom feeders around. We just need to have this for ourselves. We just need to keep enough people around to keep us fed and in our the stuff we need.
Right, which was exactly the thesis behind the memo, and I've talked about it in the past. It was written by a Columbia Gas executive, a lawyer, about West Virginia a bunch of years back. He said, mm-hmm. we got to run most of the people out and keep just enough government and services to take care of the people who take care of our needs.
So what's the plan?
Yeah.
Wow.
Not an accident.
Well, stay tuned.
Yeah. I mean, it's all over the place. You can find it anywhere you care to look. Ugh, but it's time for me to get out of here. Todd, it's been a fantastic conversation, and I thank you for it.
Sure. I'll talk to you soon, my friend.
All right. Be good. Later. Our pal Todd, calling from South Carolina, Stan, where it's at least a little bit nicer than what it is here. Time to get out of here. Thanks, everybody, for checking in for this first broadcast of the new week, the second full week of May. Thank you very kindly to Silent R. Lamar, and thank you to Charlene and Rogues Island so very much. And thanks to everybody who jumped in on fundraising this evening. It was a tremendous help, and we actually were down to just funding Friday and today, and, well, tomorrow we'll deal with that. It's profound and very helpful, most helpful, just keeping this all going. Thanks to each and every one of our Patreon and PayPal subscribers, partial sponsors of the program, your kind gifts. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Thank you to each and every one of you who shares your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you, Sparky, in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Remember, brand new Fresh Malloy on the way, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is right here at headon.live. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. Be a great time to call your elected member of the House of Representatives and ask them to sign on to H.R. 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act. It means the world to Appalachia. Please get your vaccine as soon as you can. If you have kids or grandkids between the age of 12 and 15, get them their vaccine too. Because we would it looks like we're going to have to try to survive this vaccine despite Republicans and maggots, not with them. Meantime, wear your mask, wash your hands, don't touch your face, use your hand sanitizer, maintain your social distance. And for God's sakes, if somebody comes towards you with a tiger and a pistol saying, stay right there, avoid that person like the plague, because they are. Later.